So the I just wanted to, like, this week and next week to address a person, Rabbi Akiva in particular, who is the thematically the central focus of this time of year, the Sfiras HaOmer, and largely for tragic reasons that Rabbi Akiva were told in various sources of the Gemara, in the Medrash, that his entire world fell apart, specifically during this time period between the holiday of Pesach, Passover, and the Shavuot holiday. His many, many thousands of students, whether it was 12,000 or 24,000, they all died. So, you know, you can imagine the trauma of losing one student or two students, so losing thousands of students in a terrible plague. The Gemara describes it as a particularly horrific form of death. So Rabbi Akiva is certainly on our mind during this time period. So we mentioned last week that there's a tradition of studying Pirkei Avos during this time of year, specifically because the failing, the shortcoming of the students of Rabbi Akiva was that they were derelict in terms of the conduct they had towards one another. And Pirkei Avos would be like the classical Sefer, the classical text that we have in terms of, you know, ethical behavior. And so we committed ourselves just to relating back to, one Mishnah, one teaching from Pirkei Avos during these weeks. So the Mishnah that I wanted to focus on was towards the very beginning of the fourth Perek. We started to talk about it a little bit last week in the context of Mrs. Stein's forthcoming scholarship breakfast. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Hevi Ratz LeMitzvah Kala Kevachamura, that a person should run to do even, you know, relatively small, seemingly less significant acts of righteous acts, mitzvot. And the Mishnah explains for the simple reason that a mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that one even seemingly small or insignificant action can kindle, trigger, and catalyze more significant things. That basically, you have to look at a person's culture, his behavior, his character, and character formation starts with small things, not with large things. That's why, by the way, like in West Point, they drive them crazy about insignificant things. Like if their bed isn't made perfectly, right, it's not that they're going to throw out their back. Right, if their buttons are not, you know, perfectly brassed, so, you know, what difference does it make? The idea is by cultivating discipline and order, that will, in a very large way, start with very small things, in a very large way on the field of battle, so when the commander says, do this, they're not going to say, well, you know, you say do this, I say don't do this, we need to get a rabbi to, you know, figure out who's right and who's wrong. You know, that would be a calamity. So they want to integrate and inculcate within a person's character a sense of discipline, a sense of integrity, a sense of order in small ways that lead to large ways. So again, the premise of the Mishnah is that there's really no such thing as something which is too small, that you have to start with things that are very small, and then those add up to things that are very large. So in that light, I wanted to explore what I would call the other side of the coin, which is really apropos Rabbi Akiva. So some of us are familiar with the teaching based on this week's Parsha that Rabbi Akiva says, based on a pasuk in this week's Parsha, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha," that to love your fellow the way that you love yourself. Question is, what exactly does that mean? How could we ever love somebody or support somebody the way that we want good for ourselves? The Ramban, Nachmanides, no less an authority than that, says that this may be something of an exaggeration, but be that as it may, the Rabbi Akiva defines this as klal gadol batorah, as the single most important, the essential element of the Torah. That's a big statement. After all, we just said, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says is that, you know, a person should have an equal amount of alacrity and commitment to the things that are both large and small. And yet Rabbi Akiva was willing to put himself out there and to say, but this is more important than other things. This is the klal gadol batorah. And that's a very big statement. And I'd like to suggest that this is not disconnected. This is actually related to exactly what we were talking about a second ago, is that Rabbi Akiva apparently had this personal experience where his students, who had studied a great deal of Torah, but were missing this piece, and apparently, you know, were found completely undeserving and were punished in this way. So Rabbi Akiva really had justification in terms of being able to say, "V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha," this is the klal gadol ba Torah, because he had personal experience. It wasn't like a theoretical thing for him. Maybe he said this as a reaction to the fact that individuals who had a very significant amount of Torah but did not possess Ve'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha were in fact, you know, found wanting and were punished very, very severely. So with this in mind, you know, I wanted to mention a certain antecedent to Rabbi Akiva, something that happened a number of generations before, a few hundred years before, that may touch exactly on this issue of, can we really prioritize? Can we really say X is more important than Y, or X is the most important thing in the Torah? So this is a very fascinating story where a series of individuals and prospective converts amongst them came to the two great halachic authorities of the generation, Hillel and Shammai, and posed the same question to them and got very different responses. Some of you may have heard about or may have personal experience with a time-honored Jewish tradition of posing the same question to different rabbis and getting perhaps not exactly the same response. And even though, you know, sometimes we could have a good chuckle about this, the truth is that's a healthy thing because, you know, there's not only one way of looking at the world. So it's not only a challenge for us, but hopefully that could be a benefit as well. So this is really a classic example. So the prospective convert comes to Shammai first and asks him to be able to transmit the entire Torah while this individual is standing on one foot. So, you know, even if, you know, this individual had, like, supreme balance and, you know, could give you an hour, right, that would seem like an unrealistic task. So the Gemara says that, I think this is meant to be taken figuratively, I can't be sure, but the Gemara says that Shammai, you know, knocked him out of the house with like a, you know, a stick. Literally it would mean that, you know, Shammai, you know, like, you know, whacked him. I don't know that it actually means that. He chased him out, but he chased him out in no uncertain terms. Like, you know, this guy, like, what chutzpah, you know, what do you think, what do you think you're doing? The Gemara says, of course, Hillel's response could not have been more different. Hillel and Shammai are very different characters. So Hillel's response was, okay, I could work with that. He says, "Mai de alach sani, that which is displeasing to you, l'chavrach lo sa'avid, so don't do that to your friend. V'idach, everything else, perushahi, everything else is an explanation of that one principle. Zil gemor, now go and study it." So Hillel doesn't say, this is it. You know, Hillel admits that there's other things. You know, you have to go and study exactly how this plays itself out. But Hillel felt very comfortable saying, yeah, okay, you want the entire... While you're standing on one foot, I don't need an hour. I don't even need a minute. I need 10 seconds. This is what it's all about. You don't want something done to you, don't do it to somebody else. It's an amazing idea. Okay, so I'm not interested in exploring exactly what... It sounds a lot like V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, Klal Gadol B'Torah. It sounds like Rabbi Akiva was operating within the framework of Hillel. But what I'd like to point out even beyond that is that I think that there seems to be a deeper dispute going on between Hillel and Shammai. It wasn't like they disagreed about what's the most important thing in the Torah. I think that what Hillel was saying, yes, it is possible to crystallize and to define, you know, a single overarching most important issue. And Shammai's point was, well, what do you mean? How in the world can you prioritize, you know, one thing over the other? If these are all divinely ordained rules, so who am I to say this is more, X is more important than Y? You know, that itself may be presumptuous. Like Maimonides, when he developed the Jewish philosophy, so Maimonides said that there were 13 cardinal principles of Jewish faith. Things like God's existence, the fact that God does not have a body, the fact that it's only appropriate to pray to God, the fact that God was before the world, God will be after the world, that there is such a thing as prophecy, that Moses' prophecy is unique amongst the prophets, these kinds of principles. So one of the critiques that he faced, the Abravanel, from somebody who lived about 300 years after him, was, how can you say that? There are 13 cardinal principles. There are 613, you know, commandments. So how can we pick 13 of them? So again, that kind of a critique. You know, how can we privilege? And yet, Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, the Rambam, they all seem to be operating, you know, with the presumption that even within this divine corpus, we can discriminate. We can privilege certain things, you know, over the others. So again, to return to the text that we started with, you know, Rabbi Lezer says, "Hevi ratz l'mitzvah kala kiva chamura." So again, he's not suggesting that everything is equal, that there's no such thing as relatively significant or relatively less significant. There surely is. But what he is suggesting, and I think this is of great importance, is that we should cultivate character within ourselves not to belittle anything, even if, you know, we can discern that there are certain things that really are of overarching and overriding importance. So I just wanted to conclude specifically on that note by suggesting, you know, this idea that there seems to be a balance within our, you know, classical sources between two very important, you could argue that they're competing, my argument today is that they're complementary ideas. But on the one hand, there really are fundamentals. There are certain things that are, when push comes to shove, more important. Like, you know, Rabbi Kiva says, the single most important thing to the Torah is v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. If you don't have that, you have a real problem. If you're missing area X, Y, or Z, that's not the same kind of problem. There are certain things that really, in the end, are more important. That's true. You know, the Rambam says, if a person does not observe the laws of kashrut perfectly, that does not in any sense undermine the person's overall standing. But the Rambam is of the view that if one repudiates any of the 13 cardinal principles, that could be a very significant problem. One could, for example, lose one's portion in the world to come, whatever it is exactly that means. So that's a very important distinction. The Rambam doesn't suggest that somebody who violates the Jewish dietary law would fall under such a category. Point being that there is prioritization, but at the same time, in terms of character, there's an equal amount of emphasis on developing fidelity and a sense of passion and conviction for even the smallest of relatively seeming insignificant mitzvos. Hevi ratz l'mitzvah kala kiva chamura. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah, avera goreres avera, schar mitzvah, schar avera, is that these things are all related. That if we're going to sit here and say, because this is more important, I'm only going to focus on that, then we'll be missing a lot. Because the cultivation of spiritual character really does take into account not just the large things, but the small things as well. And all of those are you know, are of great importance. If I could just use an analogy with your permission to try to develop the idea. So we would all agree that wearing pants, you know, for me, it's really a very fundamental thing, you know, in terms of getting dressed. Wearing pants is probably more important than wearing socks. If I would show up to work without pants, it's not the same as showing up without socks. But that being said, right, if I would show up with pants but with no shoes or socks, it wouldn't be as bad, right? The pants are the more fundamental, but the entire outfit, right? I sound like my sister. The entire outfit works together, right? Right? The accessories, even if they're not fundamental, right, still make a great deal of difference. And that if you would imagine a person, you know, who is not, you know, wearing shoes, you know, at work, or, you know, person who, you know, doesn't come with the appropriate, wear a t-shirt instead of a regular shirt. So that's exactly what we're talking about, is that things can be less fundamental and still of great importance and still contribute in a very significant way to the total picture, right? You know, the person will look funny without it. I think that's really meant to be the idea. So I just wanted to conclude, because we always tie things back to educational themes, that of course is of a great relevance to our students as well, that there are certain things that we prioritize. We have to prioritize in terms of, you know, our students. There are certain things. A person doesn't take an exam. It's a very different kind of you know, violation than, you know, if they call out in class, right? You know, you can't weight those the same way. And yet, so there's clearly a distinction between those two forms of infraction, and yet at the same time, exactly as the Mishnah says, the kal creates the chamor, that when a person develops the right attitude, you know, as expressed in very small things, So then the impact is much greater than you would imagine that it would be. So a person has the right scholastic attitude, the seriousness that comes and expresses itself, showing up on time, etc., you know, will express itself, we hope, in a very substantive and in a very impactful way. So, you know, my mother would always say, you know, when we were her version of this when we were little kids is she had this thing with doing homework and studying for exams with a clean desk. You know, I was wondering to myself, would this qualify? Is it a stapler? You know, I don't know. But that things should be in order so that your mind is in order, so that your studying is in order, so that you grasp the material, so that you really learn and hopefully master the discipline. But again, the mitzvah kala in support of the mitzvah chamura. So Rabbi Akiva, in saying v'ahavta l'recha kamocha klal gadol b'Torah, spoke from personal experience, presumably, and in that way wasn't demeaning things of ancillary or secondary importance, but was making an argument that in the end, you know, we have to know exactly what the priorities are, and then hopefully in pursuit of those priorities to try to develop a sense of passion for very small, seemingly secondary things as well, in the sense that they all contribute. So just wrapping up the last 30 seconds, I just wanted to say that since today is the first yahrzeit of my very revered teacher and mentor, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, so to me this was one of the things that he really, I don't think he spoke about it so much, but he embodied it, so we all admired it in him, was that he really mastered the fundamentals. There's no doubt about that, the most important areas of spiritual development. But there was nothing that was insignificant, nothing that was too small. And his attention to those details in support of the more fundamental things is just, was a very, very, very inspiring thing to see. He used to, even when I first encountered him, he was already 70 years old, so he wasn't 25. He used to literally, he would insist on carrying all his own books, and there were a lot of them. He had a lot of books that he would reference in his lectures, the shiurim. So he used to insist on carrying them around, but then he would also insist on running from place to place, so as not to waste time, so as, to manifest his excitement in terms of the Torah study. So again, running wasn't as important as what he did in the classroom. That was obviously the priority, but it was the mitzvah kala, it was the seemingly ancillary act that somehow all fit together. So he was a person, literally, hevi ratz l'mitzvah kala kevachamura, who ran to do the small things in support of the larger ones, and the holistic character was really, in terms of everything fitting together, was really something, something remarkable. So should be in his memory, and in our own way, we could aspire to have a clear sense of fundamentals and priorities, and on the one hand, and an equal sense of passion for even the details of the supporting concepts at the same time.